Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
This guy was a cult figure back in 20 into 21 at Georgia. And boy, he's got a story to tell. And now he's in the coaching world. JT Daniels, kind enough to join us here on a Tuesday afternoon on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line here on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. JT, thanks for coming on. How you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Doing well. Talk about life at West Georgia, where now you're doing some coaching. How did that all come to be for you?
Yeah, so I knew around right when I got my last concussion, that was probably it for me as a player. I started reaching out, and the offensive coordinator here, Dane Stevens, was like, he was a GA when I played at USC. So he was one of the first people I reached out to. And he told me that he was interviewing for the OC job here. And right when he got it, you know, I knew he'd be a great person to get into the game with.
So did you know once the concussion issues started to affect you that coaching is something you wanted to do?
Yeah, I always knew. I mean, even as a player, it was always one of my, like, one of the most fun parts of playing football for me, and just, you know, being a guy that was hurt about half my career. I was always working with the other Qs. And that was just, you know, I always very much so enjoyed, you know, preparing with them or teaching them a few things that I had picked up and then seeing it come to fruition on games. So I always knew it was where I'd be once I was done playing.
I'm assuming you're too young to ask this, but I will ask anyway. Have you had a what-if moment yet where you've thought about, if I had been healthy, if I had found the place that certainly worked for me? Have you had that yet? Do you need to put stuff in a box before you move on to the next thing?
Oh, no. I mean, it's just like kind of part of it. You know, when you sign up to play a violent game like football, you're well aware of, you know, the million things that could happen. And it just happened to, you know, fall that way for me here and there. But I've, you know, like, I was much more passionate about getting into the world of coaching than I was necessarily as a player. I really wasn't down when, you know, it was time to make the transition. I've frankly just been really excited for it.
Did you have an NFL dream? I mean, were there times that you either spoke it out loud or you thought it? Because obviously you were a very highly recruited player. Or were you thinking longer term than even that?
Well, of course I wanted to play. I mean, I would have played for as long as I could. And I guess technically I did. And, you know, I would have loved to have been still playing. But there was always a part that, you know, kind of knew where I would end up eventually.
It's kind of scary reading about you and some of the things that you said, the concussions. You couldn't drive for 4 weeks after your latest concussion. And sometimes you look back and you don't remember some things that happened in your career. Is that true?
Yeah, it's a significantly better now. Coming out of it, it's kind of why, you know, it was the last one, is because, you know, there's some scary things when you deal with brain injury. You know, you can rehab an ACL 100 times and, you know, always come back from it. There's some things with the brain that, you know, you really don't want to mess with. But I'm doing significantly better now. There's no real holdups in that department.
So the timeline of your playing career, now even into the coaching, you sort of get in and then wait, here's NIL. Now wait, here's portal. You're sort of like an incredible test case of what can happen over a period of just like 5 years to the college football game.
Yeah, no doubt. That would have been cool to get in about 2 years later or 2 years after I did. But no, I still definitely get to experience all of it and kind of go down as a little bit of a test subject.
Yeah, but hold on. We were joking. Did you get the original Zaxby's card?
the original Zaxby's card?
Like, as in, we don't remember a college player. Like, it was like, hey, that guy got a Zaxby's card. And we were like, wow, that's pretty cool.
You were really the first name that we remembered having something specific like that, getting a card where you can feed yourself and, you know, your offensive lineman at Zaxby's.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, in terms of that was like the first year that NIL started. That was the first, I want to say the first brand sponsorship that I signed.
Yeah, and again, like, you literally came out of high school without that world. And then all of a sudden you look around and you go, wait, I could actually eat and feed my linemen. And now, with all due respect, when I hear the numbers that are being tossed around, and I have no idea if they're true, Zaxby's card was the least of it.
I'm not sure necessarily where it's gone to now. That was within like the first month or two of like the NIL thing becoming legal, is when I signed that. I really don't know how it is for guys now.
Yeah, Carson Beck has a Lamborghini. You had a Zaxby's card, so kind of tells you all you need to know. JT Daniels with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. So you're at Georgia, and like we said, you were kind of a cult figure there with your choice of style, what you decided to do, and, of course, your performance on the field. And as you said, 7-0 as a starter. You got a national championship ring. I think the quote is, I never, like, blew a game. So when you go back to Georgia, you're also going to get a nice welcome, I would imagine.
I love being in the state. It's about my favorite place to be. I love Carrollton. Always had fun in Atlanta. Always absolutely loved Athens. It's just a football state. Just people have always been really good to me here. And, I hope the people I've been around would say the same for me.
What's it like to walk around campus as a starting quarterback for the University of Georgia, not blowing it and being 7-0?
It's a good time. You're doing when you're playing, at least the kind of player that I was, is like my only real specialty was my brain game and what I could do mentally. So I didn't spend a ton of time, honestly, outside of the building. But just the experience of playing the game at that level with, the best coaching staff you could ask for and all the resources you could use and all of that. There's really no better place to be.
Can I ask, what would you grade your physical abilities at coming out of high school? Like, it almost sounds like you're downplaying a little bit of what you might have been capable to do even on your best day. What do you think you were as a quarterback coming out of high school?
For some reason, I could kind of run. My last year of high school, I had an absolute anomaly because I never could again. I wonder if that's just comparatively. I was, when you go to the SEC, they're a whole lot faster. I wouldn't say I was like the most. I mean, I was accurate, but in terms of like my physical ability, that was never really what helped me play at a high level. I'll never forget, like, my welcome to the SEC was, I was rolling out right, and like the first day of fall camp, and Trayvon Walker just like slow jogs and toss me within like a second and a half, and he's just talking smack to me while he's doing it. And that's when I kind of learned running is not going to be my thing here.
I better adjust. JT Daniels with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker.
So the other part of that is, there are guys who have the infamous, arm touched by God. They look the part, like they were drawn in a comic book. You don't sound like you were intimidated by that, but you were realistic that if you lined up, you might not win that. But get me to the point where I have to prove that I'm supposed to be playing quarterback for you, and I'll be just fine. Is that sort of how it goes when you have what you've sort of taken down as a skill level a little bit?
Yeah, I would agree with the term realism. And like, if you're going to compete at any high level, that's what you have to be. If I were to overplay or not accurately, base my play off what I'm physically capable of, I think I'd be in a much worse spot than if I'm realistic with what I'm able to do and then maximize my strengths, which for me was, pre-snap stuff and decision-making and all of those things. And just fortunately for me, the quarterback position is one that allows you to, if you can thrive mentally, then you can get the job done.
What's it like to throw a pick on a Wednesday afternoon in a Georgia practice? A couple of, what if
Kirby's
you're not
got
having
the megaphone?
Yeah. What if
what
you're not having you? A good day?
Oh, you're talking about the mic. Yeah, some of your friends, like, if they live within like three blocks of the of the building. They'll ask you, like, what'd you do wrong after? Because they heard it over the microphone, which is always funny.
Everybody knows.
In terms of, like, the practice experience is awesome at Georgia. It's so competitive. The way practice is structured is very, like, competition-oriented in terms of how much team periods you do. And it's, like, practice almost feels like a scrimmage, especially in the spring every day. You're competing with the best on your side against the best on the other side. It's an awesome experience.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a Mad Men's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Yeah, it's a great point to bring up because people talk about life in the SEC. You're facing the best, never mind other teams, all due respect, you're facing the best on the practice field every day. How can you not get better?
Yeah, no doubt. I learned a lot from playing with Lewis Seen and Richard LeCount, like as much from playing with those guys as I did and from what they could tell me from their experience and how they see the field defensively as I did, from coaches. Those guys were like incredibly instrumental in learning the game.
So I think I'm right. I think you played in four different conferences. I want to ask you about USC, the Pac-12, which doesn't exist. And there you must be disheartened about that a little bit. We'll touch on that. But what's it like as a freshman walking on and playing Pac-12 football as opposed to moving over to play
after,
SEC football?
After graduating early, we add.
Yeah.
Yeah, that part was definitely difficult. I didn't have what really helps is when you have a spring. When you have your first spring to, it's like, you get 15 practices before fall camp starts, which is a huge, huge deal when you're coming in for your first season of college football. After that, at a certain point, you get enough reps to where obviously each rep helps, but it's those first 15 practices in spring are really critical if you're going to come in and start. But of course, just the way that I graduated, I didn't get to do that. Yeah. So it was a real steep learning curve right off the bat. And the game definitely felt a lot faster my first year than it did my fourth.
How did you win the job?
I think I just played well enough in the opportunities that I had in fall camp, and they decided that I would be the guy.
Were you, I'm asking, were you a little bit surprised? Like, did you go back to your dorm room and know that the magnitude of this, and you just admitted it's a different game at that point. You're being asked to start as a freshman at a big school. I mean, is that sort of heady? How do you handle that?
It's very exciting at first that, you're going to get to play in your first year. But, yeah, there's no doubt. And I was not – I don't think I was fully ready for what was to come. I think it took a couple weeks to really start to understand and – get in the groove of things. But yeah, that's just kind of the way it goes. And they always say the best player plays, and you got to be ready to go when your number's called.
JT Daniels with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. So you come to Georgia, you grow the mustache, like we said, you have the clothing that everybody's paying attention to. Do you realize the following that you're gaining really, really fast when you arrive in Athens?
Not really. I didn't know it was so. The mustache was kind of a funny thing. I think I'm going to go back to that one. It was a good time. I just always did, like, joke pictures for my roster pictures. Like, my freshman year, I tried to do a Jack Sparrow from Pirates of the Caribbean. And then that year in Georgia, I did that was for Uncle Rico. I didn't realize that it cut on that much.
Oh, yeah. People were monitoring everything you had on, your old school jeans, your mustache. I mean, everything people were paying attention to. Everything JT Daniels did was a topic of conversation, it seemed.
Yeah, I did. I must have missed out on that a little bit.
How did you think it looked? Like, I didn't know the Uncle Rico part. How do you think it
looked? Which is funny,
like,
by the way.
Yeah, but it is funny. So are you walking around campus going, yeah, isn't this funny? And people are like, dude, what's with the stash? Like, do they understand any of this or?
Oh, I don't know. That's just like a joke I do with like guys on the team. It's like, it's just, you know, kind of a funny picture. I never really noticed the, you know, what it did outside of it.
So you had no idea that we would come in here on a
stupid... said he's in there studying film all the time.
Yeah.
I care what we're saying.
The guy's got his head down.
He's got bigger fish to fry.
Wasn't listening to the sports talk radio. Hey, by the way, did you read anything about yourself? Did you ever listen? Like, any of that stuff ever come into play?
If my like, parents sent me something that they thought was cool, yeah. But outside of that, not really, no. Not a ton.
So how does the decision-making go in terms of where you wanted to go? Obviously, it's four schools. I don't know about the recruiting pitch or what it was. What was your mindset of, you must have had reasons why you chose the places that you did. There a process to that?
It's different from place to place. And I started to, you know, eventually, when I came down to picking Rice, I picked what I thought was the best offense that supported my play style. Because I just understand that there's certain limitations that I have physically as a player where... it wouldn't be like I'm more typecast into certain situations and certain offensive systems. So when it came to like choosing the last place, that was chosen heavily based on the offensive structure being traditional pro style that allows me to do and control a lot pre-snap and use my mind as my best weapon. Like when it came to going to Georgia, there's just no better place. And you know, as soon as I got the first call, it's like right when I hit the portal, Coach Mark called me and it was all but decided at that point. Like the process develops, is different time to time. I love helping guys that, you know, come to me for, you know, when they need help picking a school or if they should leave or not. But, you know, you just kind of develop it over time.
So how proud are you of the idea that a national championship, which had been, this state had been starving for it, that fan base had been starving for it. How proud are you that you were actually part of that?
Oh, dude, like that was an incredible moment. Really, the whole year was incredible. There's a lot that I talk about that team with. It's a common question I get, like everywhere I've been, is, you know, what made that team so good and things like that. And there's a lot of answers, but just that year as a whole was. It's a dream year.
And I like what you said too, that quarterback room, everybody got along. In fact, you said you were never a part of a quarterback room where everybody didn't get along. That's maybe one of the biggest misnomers when it comes to transferring, when it comes to competing. You think everybody's at everybody's throats. You're going to compete, but you're also going to help each other.
Yeah, there's just something to it where, I mean, it's just quarterbacks in general. And I think pretty much everyone on the team in general, like if you go through, it's rare to see a position battle where it's actually like two guys don't like each other. I think everybody in general understands that like the best one's going to play. And while everyone would like to be the starter and be the best one that goes in from game one, I think everyone just kind of understands the bigger picture.
Is this true then if let's say it's two quarterbacks are having that kind of battle, I don't know how you can lead other people. If that's who they think you are and you get your chance, isn't it harder to lead in a huddle? And isn't that really as important a part of the job as anything else is to be a leader?
It's definitely a big part of it and something that goes into every coach's decision on who's going to play the position. There's just something innate to the quarterback position that revolves around, you know, we have to trust this guy. It's the only position that can turn the ball over on every single play. There's a ton that goes into, you know, making that decision, and it's definitely a pretty big part of it.
Do you keep the stuff that you get by the kids call it swag? I got daughters who play, Nick's got a son. They give you stuff. They give you a lot of really good stuff. Do you have, or like if you leave a school, is that it? Somebody gets that stuff, and then if you leave a school, somebody gets stuff?
You keep all of it.
Yeah.
I have a lot of USC stuff, a lot of West Virginia, a lot of Georgia, a lot of Rice.
A lot of dry fit.
My mom.
You'll never have to buy dry fit again, right?
No, there's not a chance I'll ever have to again.
So before we let you go, finishing up with JT Daniels on the Hobson and Hobson Newsbreaker line, what advice would you give to players that are thinking about transferring?
In every single situation I was in, there was always 100% of the time a very upfront, direct, honest conversation with the head coach. Everything was mutually agreed upon as the best decision for both parties. Just have honest, open conversation about what's my place here. Is this the best? Is this the best place for me to be in? And so on and so forth. That's the same advice I give to everyone. Is like, your coach will tell you straight up what the, you know, what the best thing is. Just have that conversation. Be open, upfront, and professional. And regardless of what the decision actually is, that is the best way to go about it.
It's really hard to pick your path as a coach, but do you have in mind what it is you'd like to do? Like, do you have a progression?
No,
you don't.
Like a progression, no. I've been here for a month and a half, just trying to, you know, make the West Georgia Wolves better and learn as I go.
Well, JT, we appreciate the time and the stories. Best of luck at West Georgia. Best of luck in coaching, and hopefully we can do this again soon. If you're ever in town, we would love to have you come in studio.
Absolutely, man. Thank you.
You got it. JT Daniels with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen, family photos on a restaurant wall, a legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation, like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.